Well, good morning. Welcome to Vintage Church North. My name is Tanner Griffith, and I'm so glad that you're joining us for this message about an exile named Daniel. You just heard. Man, he's got a bold idea, and it's a very vegetarian idea. It's a very interesting idea. That is, I think I'd like some king's food and wine, but man, he's going to go for the veggies and water. It's an interesting thing today. What I would want to boil this message down to is we're going to see here that obedience is life. Obedience is life. So I wanted to talk to our kids first because in the month of July, we have all of our kids, 5 and up, joining us. And I love these services. Some of you might know, kids, Daniel. Do you remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den? Does anybody know that story? And could you raise your hand if you know the story of Daniel in the lion's den? Okay, we have some people that know Daniel in the lion's den. Could anybody tell me why Daniel was thrown into the lion's den? Do we have a bold kid that could tell me why? Yes. Who did Daniel pray to? Yes. Daniel was thrown in a lion's den because he did not pray to the king, he prayed to God. What do you think God thought of Daniel? He loved him. He loved this obedience. This obedience led him where Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. And what did God do to the lion's mouths when Daniel was in the lion's den? Does anyone know? He shut their mouths. And so Daniel was okay, wasn't he? It's an amazing story. We are going to see that Daniel has a story before this in chapter 1 that kind of led him to this place where he makes a very bold and faithful decision to pray not to the king, but to God. So Lucy, Archer, thank you. Thanks all the kids. Again, what we're going to see today is that obedience brings life. Obedience brings life. Before I jump in, I want to ask God to just help us here today to see these things and see his word. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you. I thank you that you speak to us, that you command life to us. God, would you speak in this time through your word and again, the way that only you can, that can speak to every single one of us in this room? And would you help us see that your command to us is life this morning? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know that when I throw out this phrase, like obedience is life, some of you are going like, uh-oh, I hate every single time I hear somebody talk about obedience. You don't know what church I've been from in the past, and it was crazy. You know, they couldn't dance there. They couldn't play poker. They couldn't drink. They couldn't, whatever it is. They had all these rules. It was crazy, and y'all don't know where I'm coming from. I like came from all these rules, and these people were They rubbed me the wrong way. You don't know. I know that when I start talking about obedience, there's this weird rub in our souls that like when somebody starts talking about obedience, there's these kind of like, okay, let me back up. Like, I'm going to put up some walls here. I need to listen to what's said. Let's see what's coming. Obedience truly is life to God. I mean, for all time, I will agree with you that people have a problem with God's word. Like when he commands things, people take those commands and they put all these rules and regulations on top of it, and that is not life-giving. We do call that legalism. That kind of drains the life out of a room. But it's incredible to think, let's just think of some of the Ten Commandments. You know, let's just think of some of them. Let's not kill each other. I'm glad that's one. Let's not steal from each other. How about we have healthy marriages? Let's not commit adultery. Let's not covet what other people have. What in here is like soul sucking? How about this command? Once a week, stop. Be with your friends. Be with your family. Recharge. Stop everything you're doing. Do not work. Rest. Get recreated. I mean, this is where we even the word recreation comes from. It's like, how awesome is a command like that? Rest. Stop. The commands of God towards us are completely for us. They are exactly like his first words that we see in the Bible. Let there be light. It's life. It's like what comes out of God's mouth is just life. And for some weird reason, we have these like walls that we put up to God's word, to his command, and go, I don't know, I'm not going to take every command of God like, you know, seriously. This seems like he's not out for me. We have this weird thing with us in our minds about obedience. In Daniel, this man is going to show us that when we obey God, there is life. That is what abundant life, that is where it comes, is when we obey God's commands. Who is Daniel? So you might not know who Daniel is. Let me tell you a little bit about Daniel before we go in to our passage here. Daniel is an exile. If you don't know what that word means, an exile is someone who their country has been attacked. This is what happened to Daniel's people. This foreign army invades, they take over everything, and then this ruler says, ship a lot of these people out of their lands, take them from their homes, bring them to our country. They're scattered, they're all over, they don't have their home, they're in a foreign place with a foreign language that they do not know. That is Daniel. He is in exile. He is in this city that he knows very little about. Daniel was in exile. Daniel also was an employee. If you read the whole book of Daniel, you'll see that he works for three kings, very powerful kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, and then lastly, a guy named Cyrus. Cyrus is the one that throws him into the lion's den. So we get to see that he's employed. He's an employee. He's an exile, but he's an employee. He was an employee of the government. He was put into work by them. And he's put into work by them because he is a wise man. He is very wise. This is how the first king goes, hey, I want a lot of smart men to be brought to my city and to be put into my employment from this nation of Israel. So that's why Daniel's chosen, is he's smart, he's wise. It even seems like the passage suggests he's probably good looking. So he's got a lot of qualities. He's like, probably if he was single, he would have been, you know, a hot commodity, I guess. But this is why he's chosen. He's brought to work for Nebuchadnezzar. One thing you'll see with Daniel throughout the book is he is a devoted man. He's a man of prayer. His day is structured around God. Three times a day, he meets with God. It's just the pattern of his life. His whole life just revolved around God. I think Jesus would say, if he was describing Daniel, and particularly Daniel in this passage, he's a man that got what I told you to do. Jesus told his followers, if any man wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Daniel was a man that followed Jesus. He denied himself. We're going to see it in this passage, dealing with food. So kids, I have another question for you. Do you like food? And what is your favorite food that you like to eat? Can somebody tell me what their favorite food is? I love meatballs. Is that what she said? Oh man, meatball sauce? That sounds even better. Anybody else? What's your favorite food? Dakota said ravioli. Did I hear carrots? That's awesome. That kind of messed with where I was going to go. You kind of just messed with things. Archer, I saw you. What's your favorite food? Cherries. Oh, yeah, you like cherries. Anybody else? What was that? Oh, yeah. Fruity Pebbles? I don't know if you guys like it, but I love that. And I love to drink the milk after that. Man, so all of us love food. I would imagine none of us in this room is like, man, I hate food. I really don't like food. All of us like food. And the story that we get to see today is Nebuchadnezzar decides to bring all these people to him. And in verse 5 of this passage, this is how it's set up. Look at what happens in verse 5 of chapter 1. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of the time, they were to stand before the king. So here's what we get. We get, man, this is going to be a 3-year college, and you are going to have the best food on earth. Have y'all been around powerful people? Or maybe, like, you know what they eat? You know, rich and powerful people, they don't eat bad stuff. It's not like they're like, you know what I want today? Just make me a plain cheese quesadilla. They're going to have the best chefs in the world cooking for them, making this awesome food. Think about college. I mean, for 3 years, did you see what the passage said? For 3 years, bring these people up and give them the best food, the best drink. Because if you know anything about the rich and powerful too, they're not going to drink like two-buck chuck wine. That's just not going to be what they're drinking. Think about that. I mean, Daniel kind of gets into an interesting program here. He's going to have the best food, the best drink for 3 years. He's going to be educated in the ways, learn the language. That's kind of interesting. You know, my first 4 years at Virginia Tech, my first year is like, I didn't even have all that stuff, and I had a hard time staying in college. I was like, this program was going to be intense. It was going to be well run. And Daniel looks at like the best food on the planet, and he's like, I need to be a vegetarian and drink water. What an interesting thing. All of my favorite foods I can just imagine are just in front of me. And Daniel chooses vegetables. This passage is not about why you should be a vegetarian, okay? It's not about that. But if you know anything about Jewish dietary laws that God had for his people, you probably know almost everything on that table, meat-wise, was not kosher. The Jewish people were not supposed to eat anything from a pig. You know, no bacon, no pork, No Cuban pork. Yeah, there's like, but I can imagine that's probably all there is on that table. You know, it's just lots of pig stuff. And a lot of good slow-cooked meats, probably. And Daniel knows this is against God's command for his people. We're going to see a man that's not run by his stomach, but run by his heart. It's an amazing thing when somebody does this, lets their heart, who they worship, decide how they live. And he's going to decide, I'm not going to defile myself. Verse 8 says this. Look with me. It says, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. You get to see that word come up twice, defile. Daniel did not want to defile himself. God had given his people these dietary laws, and Daniel wanted to keep this. He wanted to keep these laws, and he knew this would defile him if he broke this command. He was more worried about what God wanted than what even this king wanted. One question I have for us to try to put us in our minds and let it come into our hearts is, how do we defile ourselves? You know, the Jewish dietary laws, they're done away with. Jesus himself said, look, what comes into a man does not make him unclean. Then he gives this command to Peter, hey, you can eat everything now. So we don't have the same eating restrictions. What defiles us? Disobedience is what defiles us. It is intrinsically against us. Sin is killing us. Disobedience to God's command is the thing that ultimately defiles us. We are made in the image of God. To know what this means you are insanely precious. And God cares about you. He does not want you to be defiled. Disobedience is one thing that defiles us. In this passage, we get to see, you know what? Gluttony and drunkenness do too. Just overeating, overdrinking, overindulgence, it defiles us. We're not meant to live like this. You know, because there's kids in the room, men, your eyes, what you see can defile you on your computers. It gets in your soul and defiles you. There are many things that defile us. But Daniel, in this passage, he was looking at this meat and he sees this is against God's commands, and I want to honor him, obey him. And so it's interesting. He goes to the chief eunuch, who's in charge of this program, this three-year program, where they're going to eat the best food, drink the best drink. And he asks, he's like, can I eat this? Can I eat the veggies? And look at how the chief eunuch talks back to Daniel in verse 10. It says, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who has signed your food and drink. For why should he see that you are in worse condition than the youths who are your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance in the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. Daniel gives this idea, hey, I don't want to defile myself. I want to eat vegetables and drink water. And the steward goes, hey, my head would be on the chopping block. You guys are going to lose all this weight. You're not going to be in shape. Your mind, like, if the king sees in this condition, he's giving you the best food and the best drink. This is the best of what we have. You guys are like not going to be in good condition. And he's like, and if that happens, literally my head could be on the chopping block. I've got to obey the king. And we get to see Daniel is very wise. Instead of saying, let's do this for 3 years, you know, they're at the beginning of their program. What does he suggest? 10 days. That's very reasonable, right? In a 3-year program, can you please give us 10 days? What a wise, thoughtful response to this no. Nope, we're not going to allow that. And he gives him a very reasonable response. How about you check us out 10 days from now, feed us vegetables and water, and you just see how we're doing to the whole program. There's this whole, you know, all the freshmen. Let's, you know, check out all the freshmen in this 3-year program and see how we're doing compared to them. And so the steward goes, that's really interesting. Let's do it. This wisdom that Daniel has is just amazing. When I was just praying and kind of sitting in this text, I was struck by this phrase, let us do this for 10 days. And I started thinking about all of us. I was thinking, what if every single one of us for the next 10 days devoted ourselves to God in a way that maybe you haven't been doing? What would it be like for our congregation here, our family, all of us in this room, to kind of hear this word from Daniel that says, I'm going to obey God could you just let me have 10 days? What if we all took that advice and for the next 10 days, we tested God in obeying him and then see what happens. My imagination, which is very much what happens in this passage, is that when we obey God, God's grace and our thriving just start happening. It's strange, but I think our natural selves, we desire things that are not always what God desires from us. It's like our stomachs. It's like this example of food. We desire things that are actually against us. We lust, we gossip. It's the way we speak and treat one another. For some weird reason, we actually inwardly desire. But what if for 10 days, we devoted ourselves to God and his commands? I mean, what if we devoted ourselves to the idea to like stop, to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? What if in all of our families this next week, we truly took a day that God just wants from all of us, stop doing stuff? Would you spend time with maybe yourself, with your family? Don't do any work. rest, play, enjoy life, thrive. What if we took him up on that next week? One day, we're not working. We're not doing anything that would resemble work. And we're going to be a family that rests in and with God. What if next week, for the next 10 days, you tried to walk like Daniel walked? Maybe three times of prayer would be hard for your day. What if you started your day and ended your day with talking to God and listening to him? I know you guys are talking to me, and I know myself, we are not always consistent people. What if for the next 10 days we tried to walk in obedience with God? I want to challenge us to do this. Could y'all do this with me? I want to do this. I want to challenge you for the next 10 days to really consider the command to love God and to love others. And in doing so, we're loving ourselves when we do that. We're going to start thriving. This 10 days has an incredible result, and it should make sense. I mean, if we're eating the richest fare in all the kingdom, it might not have the best results for us. That fat, you know, that's in there is going to maybe do something to our system that doesn't, you know, work too well. You know, when I started eating about 2 years ago, I got a blood test, and they're like, you're pre-diabetic. I was like, oh, my goodness. So I, like, walked out of that room, and I was like, oh, goodness, I'm not going to eat sugar or carbs for, like, a month. And you know what happened? That means you're basically eating real food. And surprisingly, if you're healthy, you get healthy. I mean, it worked. It's like a year later, they're like, whatever you're doing, I lost some weight. I don't have pre-diabetes anymore. Who knew that when you don't eat sugar, you might not get diabetes? Well, it works, at least for me. They do this 10-day challenge, and I think there's this part of this that's just good for all of us, is when we obey God, life kind of comes into our lives. And this is what happens for these four men. They do not defile themselves, but they eat these vegetables and water, drink water, and they're thriving. I mean, they thrive for 10 days that now they had to make so many people so mad. The whole, like, freshman class, the guy's like, no more king's food, no more king's wine. We're all water and veggies. How mad would you be? I would be for 3 years. For 3 years, we had the king stuff for 10 days. Why'd you let us eat this for 10 days? And now we got to do this vegetarian thing? Here's what happens is 10 days sometimes turns into a life. It turns into, man, this is so good. All of us need to do this. We need to do this for the rest of our days. Whatever these guys are doing, look at Daniel's life. He prays three times a day. He's like just in relationship with God. Look at the way he eats and drinks. One thing I love about this passage is it makes our spiritual life physical. It's like so many of us sometimes want to be like, man, how do I grow in my spiritual life? You know, weirdly, sometimes it's about the way you eat. God like made us physical beings. Like we're not like, we can't just have this like spiritual life floating over here and then our physical lives are complete junk. We are connected. All of us are connected. You know how you can walk in a spiritual life? Love your spouse. Love your kids. Eat healthy. Sleep. Love your enemy. The commands of God are just real practical. They're down to earth. They're gritty. God wants our thriving. And it's amazing. What might 10 days for our congregation lead us to? How might 10 days make us go, we got to do this for the rest of our days? It turned into this rule of life that this steward now put on everyone. This is the way to go. The steward was able to see obedience in action and saw the thriving that came from it. And he goes, now everyone's got to do this. This is the way. Obviously, there is life in this. It's amazing what's happening when this life is kind of being built up in Daniel. Daniel's thriving. The three others, you might be going like, who are these guys? You know, Mishael, Azariah, Hananiah. You guys know them as Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Who are these people? What are they being prepared for? What is their like thriving leading to? The amazing thing that you're going to see is their obedience does not lead to an easy life. Their obedience actually leads them to greater obedience. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're out front of this golden statue that Nebuchadnezzar builds. And he says, I want everyone in this kingdom, everyone here, when the music starts playing, you all kneel and you bow down to me. They weren't being built up for an easy life. They knew this was a command against the command of God. This was breaking the first command of God's people to worship them with all their hearts. They're not supposed to worship this golden statue. And you know what they do? They obey. Because they've seen the thriving that obedience has. They've seen it, and it leads not to an easy life. It weirdly sometimes leads to greater suffering. But the amazing thing is they obey, and God meets them there. He meets them in this fiery furnace. And Daniel's the same way. This king says, don't pray to God, pray to me. And Daniel won't do it. Daniel will not do it. He's been obeying. He's seen the thriving of God in his life. And it does not lead to an easy path. It leads weirdly to suffering. This point where he is tested, and now he knows if he breaks this, he will be put to death. And he breaks the law. He prays. And he's thrown in the lion's den. And you know what's amazing about both the stories? Both the stories, Jesus shows up. He closed the mouth of the lions. He's with them in the fire. And both kings, at the end of the day, they see God glorified. It's like the suffering is where God worked throughout the whole empire. Both of the stories end with both of those kings saying, everybody has to worship God. Exactly like this diet, everyone has to eat this. Everyone has to worship God because there is life in this God. When we obey this God, there is a thriving not in the easy times, but even weirdly, a thriving in the times of suffering. What an example that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach give to us. And it's amazing, these 10 days lead to another 10. Okay, so in Daniel 1, 18 through 20, look at this. It's the end of the program. They've done their whole diet. And it says, at the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king spoke with them, and among them was none found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found that they were 10 times better than all the magicians and the enchanters that were in the land. God bless these men. There was none like them. What you get to see in this kingdom is a day very much like ours. It was a very spiritual world. I mean, the top of the king's men and the wise men were very spiritual people, magicians and enchanters. How do we stand out in a very spiritual world? What separates Christianity or the belief in the true God from all these other just spiritual kind of new age, which is really, to be honest, you'll see here, this has been going on forever. The one thing about the most of the spiritual world and the belief that is out there, and this has been for all time, these magicians, enchanters, this spiritual life that they were seeking was all focused on themselves. This is what Baal was in the Old Testament. If you wanted to thrive, focus all upon yourself, and it was an exciting world. The music was good around the Baal temple. You had inappropriate relationships that would be getting into these places. It was exciting. But what did God give his people? A book. The spiritual world, the new age kind of spirituality, it's exciting. This might not seem that exciting, but it'll change your life. God gave us his word, and the word is our life. It is where we see his commands. It is where we obey him. I love Eugene Peterson says this. He says, one way to define spiritual life is getting so tired and fed up with yourself that you go on to something better. I'll get it under control here in a second. It's following Jesus. I need to be done with my notes. Like the last 2 years for me. I've come to find that to be true. God did the best thing in my life, was just through a ton of family crap, a ton of our family crap. And I mean like health issues and just a lot. I got to the end of myself. I got to, I'm tired of me in a healthy way. Man, I'm so glad that God made me the way I am. But he in a new way made me see the best life is found in following Jesus. He offers us unimaginable grace and mercy. It's, you get to see it all in this passage in two separate verses. He actually, God comes into the picture and it's like, and God gave favor. And God gave them favor in reading like the literature and wisdom and insight. We have to come to an end of ourself to find God. and to find grace. The spiritual life is coming to an end of yourself and realizing that following Jesus Christ, there's nothing better. There is nothing better than that. And it's these 2 years for me, they have stunk in so many ways. For many of you, I know you're going through it too. The pain, the hurt, the suffering, it's real. And God will walk through every moment with you. He walks and he's there for you. And the spiritual life in Christianity is coming to a place where you start believing Jesus' words. Maybe I should deny myself and take up my cross and follow him. What good would it do me if I gain the whole world, but I lose my soul? God wants your soul to thrive. He wants my soul to thrive. And it's found when we, like Daniel, obey. Obedience will lead to thriving. Disobedience, I'm going to tell you, its only path is to death. It tempts us, our desires actually weirdly sometimes want to go to death. And God is so kind in saying, no, obey me. Most of you know I'm super emotional. That was a little different for me today. I don't always like break down on stage. But sometimes I do, so. God has been so kind to me, and I hope that you can find his kindness in saying, come back to me. Come back. Would you do it just for 10 days? See what would happen. Give 10 days to him and let him care for you for 10 days. I think he might change your entire life. Let me pray. God, I don't know what's going on in me. Sometimes I just think it's your spirit or my emotions are out of control and I don't know. But I give myself to your care and I give all these people to you. God, would you help us come to the end of ourselves? Come to the very end of ourselves that we might know that the best way is following you. It is obedience. It is obedience to your word. And just as you show us over and over, obedience to you is where there's life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.